So, we are here to read a message, Trust and Acceptance, September 24th, 2007. As I mentioned, the last message that Holy Spirit had given to Laurent and me was a message called Seeds of Trust. What we actually looked at was, I'm going to call it My Weakness and Laurent's Weakness in Trusting. And we had, you know, at the level of manifestation, the level of form, we had slightly different weaknesses, or you could say our trust weaknesses were aimed in different directions. I really didn't trust God. That's the bottom line. You could also say I didn't trust the universe. And Laurent did not trust himself. And the truth is, it's most helpful if we can trust both, God and ourself. And in fact, Danielle, do you mind running a little errand for me real quick? I need a copy of NTI. Any copy will do. In fact, I'm going to read from you from NTI, because this message that it's helpful to trust both God and the little self, what we call ourself, is in NTI. Thank you very much. It's in NTI Acts chapter 1. A lot of people have actually told me that this is their favorite chapter in NTI, so apparently it really speaks to us. NTI Acts chapter 1, when I get to the page, I'll tell you the page number for those of you who like to open your book and read along. I'm on page 216. Oh, I should have known that by heart. I did know that by heart, I just didn't stop to think. Page 216. And basically what Spirit is teaching us on page 216 is how to follow guidance. And Spirit gives us two steps on how to follow guidance. The first one is to pray. And this is the type of prayer we want to pray. It's a prayer of surrender. It says, Father, I do not know what is best for me now, in this time and this place, that I may be led back to you. Because I cannot see the path I am ready to walk, take my hand and send me your voice to guide me. I shall go where it asks me to go, and I shall do as it asks me to do, in joy and peace and certainty. All right, so that prayer is the first step. And then Spirit says, the second step to listening for guidance is this. You must trust. You must not only trust the voice and the guidance you receive, you must also trust yourself. For the guidance comes from you through your knowing that is beyond conscious choice. To doubt yourself is to doubt your guidance. So you must trust yourself and trust what comes. So ultimately, we really need to trust everything. If we aren't trusting everything, well, I'll just say somewhere we're out of whack. Somewhere we're in ego a little bit. It doesn't mean things aren't still moving along perfectly. It just means we aren't aware of that perfection. And being aware of that perfection is magnificent. I mean, that's really what made me cry just a moment ago in that prayer, right? Is being aware of the perfection. So trusting everything helps us be aware of the perfection that we are a part of, the path that we are caught up in, the current that we are caught up in. So trust is, like Spirit said at the beginning of the last message, not a little thing. Trust is not a little thing. So if we have weaknesses in trust, whether we don't trust ourselves, we don't trust the universe, we don't trust our brother, which is really ultimately not the same as not trusting the universe, we want to follow the advice of last week's message and plant seeds of trust wherever we find a lack of trust in us. And a lack of trust is certainly recognized clearest by fear, by worry, by a sense of foreboding, right? Something awful is going to happen. But you can also recognize a lack of trust whenever you want to control things. You don't want to let go and just let things unfold. So wherever we see lack of trust, we plant the seeds of trust.
Thank you, Danielle.
All right, so this message then continues the topic of trust. And you'll notice that this time it appears Laurent and I did not have a question. Spirit was just ready to continue teaching us. So I think maybe a couple more people popped into the room. Here's the link one more time. All right, so let's go into the message. Trust. There's our objective in the very first sentence, which is a one-word sentence. Trust. Trust is always key. To hold on to trust is everything, because trust is the manifestation of the knowledge of your love combined with your knowingness that love, seen as love, is evidence of all that is truly real. So what Spirit is really saying here is, again, just like the last message said, trust is not a little thing. When we are choosing to trust, just trust everything. We're not talking about trusting a specific thing, like trusting I will get the money, right? We're talking about trusting everything. Even if I don't get the money, I trust that, right? We're talking about just trust for trust's sake. When we are able to trust like that, what's actually happening, although we may not be fully consciously aware, is that we are tapped into our truth. Remember, A Course in Miracles says in the beginning of it that what is real cannot be threatened. Right? That is our truth in that sentence at the opening of A Course in Miracles. What is real cannot be threatened. When we are able to trust anything and everything, we're not trusting for a specific outcome, we're just trusting no matter what the outcome is, right? When we are able to just trust, we are actually in contact with that part of us that knows that we can never be hurt. That knows that we aren't truly vulnerable, we aren't truly victim, we are always okay. The book I'm reading by Robert Adams, the way he describes it is there's just this knowing inside that all is well. We're in touch with the all is well knowledge. So you could say that when we're in that state of trust, we're actually in touch with ourself. Now, I notice Lisa has asked, are trust and faith the same? The most honest answer to that question is that that is debatable, because all words can be defined in multiple ways. In some cases you may say trust and faith are the same. In other cases you may not say that. So it really depends more on what the words mean for you, Lisa. Holy Spirit does define faith in NTI Hebrews as desire and acceptance of something as true. And you can put faith in something untrue, and through your faith it will become manifest as if it is true. So faith is used in NTI as sort of a creative process. So I think I wrote about this recently and Dove even posted it. So if I have faith, for example, if I have faith that people are really tired of me teaching and they kind of wish I'd go away. You know, like if I have faith in that idea in my mind, then what's going to start happening is when I come into the room, I'm going to start seeing comments, I'm going to start interpreting through that filter, and that is going to become a part of my experience. So Holy Spirit says that faith draws your experience. If that is how we define faith, then trust is something different. Okay, this trust is about hooking into knowledge, okay? Hooking into knowledge within and staying with that state of knowledge. But again, that's just the way these words are being defined in this particular case, and someone else may call that faith, and that's okay, right? If hooking into knowledge, they may say that's faith, and that's fine. But yeah, when I say trust, I'm talking about hooking into that knowledge within us that knows, as Robert Adams puts it, that all is well, right? So I'm not trusting that I'll get the money. I'm trusting that whether I get the money or not, I'm going to be okay. all is well. I'm not trusting that my romantic partner won't leave me. I'm trusting that whether my romantic partner stays or goes, I'm okay. All is well. I'm not trusting that I won't get sick. In fact, I think Jan Fraser really talked about this well in her book, When Fear Falls Away. Those of you who are reading that book with me, you know that Jan's greatest conscious fear was that she would get cancer and die. And although she never had cancer, she had many close calls when they thought that she had cancer, right? But then a further biopsy would prove that she didn't. But this was her great fear. Well, what happened when fear fell away for her is that she just entered into this state of all is well. And what she talks about in her book is it wasn't like she suddenly knew she wasn't going to get cancer. She said that would actually, she said trust based on an idea like that is flimsy. You know, she called that flimsy. She said she didn't think that all is well because she wouldn't get cancer. It was this feeling that all is well, whether she got cancer or not, that couldn't change the all is well, right? That's trust. Okay, that's what spirit is calling trust. So let's listen to this first paragraph again, and then I'll move into the second paragraph. Trust. Trust is always key. To hold on to trust is everything, because trust is the manifestation of the knowledge of your love combined with your knowingness that love, seen as love, is evidence of all that is truly real. All right. Yeah, and Melissa's writing, it's like giving up the belief I'll only be okay if these conditions are met, and adopting the unconditional security we have in God no matter what. And Dove is writing that it is the opposite of doubt, and specifically he's saying self-doubt. Okay, so moving on to the second paragraph. There is nothing to fear in the world. There is nothing in the world to fear at all. But when you choose the idea of fear, you choose the ripples of fear, or the experience of fear. The intensity of the experience is directly linked to the intensity of your choice. The more strongly you choose fear, the stronger the experience. The more consistently you choose fear, the more consistent the experience. But if you allow the choice for fear to fade by strongly and consistently choosing trust, well, your experience will come from that. And the intensity and consistency of the miracles that come from your choice will amaze you. Thus my crying during the prayer, right? And you will fall more deeply in love with everything as me, which is the truth of you. I really think that the fact that we're watching Shall We Dance and that I'm overwhelmed by everything that Spirit has given me, it's not an accident. It's not an accidental setup for this particular message, right? Although I didn't know. I think that's where I started crying too. Cheryl said we gave the same talk. Yeah, so one thing that Spirit really wants us to get, guys, and to be honest, most of us fight receiving this knowledge or fight receiving this realization. So if for a moment, if we could just put all fighting aside and just listen, okay? Just for a moment. It only has to get through a little bitty crack in order to penetrate and to make a difference, okay? What Spirit is telling us in this particular paragraph is that whatever horrible experience we may have, whatever type of suffering we have in our life, whether that is loneliness, whether that is feeling overworked, overstressed, whether that is just plain feeling unworthy, unwanted, whether it's feeling cut out from opportunities, like somehow we never get the break, right? I never get that break that I need. Whatever type of suffering we experience in our lifetime is coming from our willingness to choose the thoughts that make that suffering. All right? Let that crack in, guys, because I know we hear it. I know we hear it. But I also know that hearing it and accepting it to the point where we're really starting to have true realizations about what are these thoughts doing in my mind, well, I know that that's two different steps. So, hold on, Lord Blue, I'll get to you in just a second. So, Spirit is saying, notice the intensity of your experience, whatever experience you have, whatever fear or suffering experiences you have, the intensity of the experience is directly linked to the intensity of your choice. That's a sentence you might even want to underline. That means literally the worse it seems to be for you, right? The deeper your darkness, the more you are choosing these thoughts. Okay? The intensity of the experience is directly linked to the intensity of your choice. The more strongly you choose fear, the stronger the experience. The more consistently you choose fear, the more consistent the experience. And yeah, Laurent is talking about how Ramana talks about you stand at the entrance of the cave and you shout, and every time you shout, the echoes come back. Here, the idea of ripples is being used, like you're throwing stones and you're getting ripples. But we really want to get this, and we really do, because our freedom is in this paragraph. We really want to get it, that if we are suffering in any way, it is because we are choosing it. All right, Laura Blue, what do you got? Okay, Laura Blue has typed a question. The way the annotation of this message sounds is a little bit different to me than your other Holy Spirit messages. Do you remember if this voice was a particular voice rather than the more general Holy Spirit voice? Laura Blue, you are absolutely correct. When I first joined with Laurent, it felt like the feeling of the Holy Spirit was exactly the same. But there was a point, in fact, I can tell you exactly when that point occurred. There was a point where it was still the same. I'm not going to say it was like one personality left and another one came. You know, like sometimes that feeling happened throughout NTI. It was still the same. But I would say probably the best way to describe it is whatever my Holy Spirit was, it's like it was joined with Laurent's, so that what was coming through me was no longer coming through me just for the personality and the mind of Regina. It was also coming through for the personality and the mind of Laurent, and it took on, yes, a different tone. So yes, it was different. And I'll tell you exactly when that happened. It was the day that the message of the power of light and the flow came. And if we're willing to guess a little bit at why, I think I told you guys that that day was the first day that I really loved Laurent in an honest way, and that I saw, you know, what the Course talks about, his needs and my needs as the same. I saw him as feeling like he was failing on the spiritual path. I saw me as feeling like I was failing, and I wanted the same for the both of us, help. And when that joining happened in my heart, this voice changed. If you go back and look at even the messages that Laurent and I received together, you can tell a difference in tone from the messages prior to the power of light and then after the power of light. So a shift occurred there, some type of a joining, I'll call it. And for those of you who don't know, I mean, it's just a little detail, but I was guided when Laurent and I were guided to part and go separate ways. I was guided to give these messages to Laurent in a legal way. He actually owns the copyright to them. So you could say these are Laurent's messages, even though they came through me, and they were for me also. There's no doubt about that. But there is something a little different about these messages. All right, let's go on to the third paragraph. You love the idea of love. That's both for me and Laurent. I mean, I think I love the idea of love, but Laurent told me a story about, you know, he had a CD out and he was, you know, had some popularity in France during while the CD was out. And Laurent, if I tell the story wrong, feel free to correct me. But the way I remember him telling me the story was that he was being interviewed as a singer on a television show, and they asked him something about, you know, what he did. What was that, Laurent? Was it the question they asked you when you answer with the statement that love was your purpose, or however you did that? You don't remember? He's questioning. They asked you some kind of a question, and you said something about love being your purpose, or I don't remember. I guess I'm forgetting the details. But anyway, that's what I think of when I read the statement. You love the idea of love. And I think that was true for both me and Laurent. And you enjoy the knowledge of happiness. And he says, this is great. Oh, you've forgotten too. Okay, he says, this is great. So spirit is not criticizing us by our attraction to the idea of love. But spirit is very much aware that the idea of love, as Laurent had it in his mind, the idea of love, as I had it in my mind, were really more attractive concepts than truth. Because if we were in touch with true love, right, which would be what we are, the spirit wouldn't have to be teaching us about trust. So we love the idea of love, but our idea of love was conceptual, right? Laurent loved love, I loved love, but our idea of love was conceptual. Even our idea of the love of God, not just romantic love, but the love of God, was conceptual. So, but spirit always takes what the ego makes and uses it in a helpful way. So look what spirit does with this. You love the idea of love, and you enjoy the knowledge of happiness. This is great. When you are attracted by love and knowledge of your own happiness, you will be more consistent in your choice for them. Since experience always comes from choice, you will be most satisfied with experience that comes from the knowledge of your consistent choice for what you truly want. Okay, so he's saying you like the idea of love. You like the idea of happiness. If you will trust me, okay, that your suffering is coming from only you, all right, and begin to look at the choices that you are making in your mind that is creating this suffering. And follow me as I teach you how to make different choices. What's going to happen is you're going to start tasting the truth of love. You're going to start becoming aware of the source of happiness. And as you start getting these true tastes, you know, you start feeling this true source, you are going to become more and more eager to change what you're doing in your mind, or as the Course says, to make a different choice, right? So Spirit's kind of asking us, let's just get started on this. All you need to do is walk with me a little ways. If you will walk with me a little ways through your own experience, you're going to walk further, all right? So I only need you to trust me for the first few steps. After that, you're going to see exactly what I'm talking about. You're going to become more and more excited about finding the cause of suffering within yourself, and letting that cause of suffering be healed so that you can experience more and more true joy and love. All right? So he's enticing us, inviting us, right? As Laurent says, attraction and being excited is like desire or faith. Yes. So he's bringing us towards our true desire. Now, something must have happened because he is talking to me, and after that last paragraph, there must have been a thought that entered my mind. I don't remember what it was, but we'll maybe find out in a second. A thought must have entered my mind because a shift occurred between the first three paragraphs and the fourth paragraph, and you'll notice that Spirit is addressing the shift that occurred in my mind, not what we'll call a positive shift, although everything is used, so ultimately it is positive. But Spirit says, the energy of my message feels lower to you now because you have chosen a lower energy by remembering times that choice seems challenged, when you seem to be victim of the choices that are made by the mind. Okay, I do remember this. We'll call this projection, but the specific thought that crossed my mind, I had an idea in my mind, and I know that this is also true for me too, but the reason I'm going to call it projection is because the thought that crossed my mind wasn't about me, Regina, the thought was about Laurent. I had this thought cross my mind based on what he had told me, that he felt victim of his thoughts, and that he was going to feel powerless to make another choice, and therefore the teaching that Spirit is giving us right now would not be helpful to Laurent. That is the thought that crossed my mind. This is not going to be helpful because you're asking us to make another choice, and he's going to feel like he can't. He's victim to his mind. And as soon as I believed that thought, the entire energy of the message shifted. I started feeling like instead of Holy Spirit being a loving, helpful voice, Holy Spirit became more coercive feeling, more bossy feeling, more on the enemy side of the line than the friend side of the line. He was the bad guy trying to tell us to do what I felt at least Laurent couldn't do, but I'm going to call that projection. But that was the way it was being projected. He's trying to tell us to do what Laurent could not do. Now, this is not a small point, and I'm kind of glad it happened, because this happens to all of us. You know, this happens to all of us. You know, if I'm speaking with you on the phone, or if I'm speaking with you through email, and I'm sharing helpfulness, you know, sometimes that helpfulness is really eagerly received, but then sometimes it bumps up against... I can't. I hear people say that. I can't. And as soon as what I'm saying bumps up against I can't, then suddenly I'm not the friend anymore, right? I'm not. I've left being the friend, and I've become the enemy to one degree or another. That's exactly what happened here. You see, the exact same thing happened. As soon as Spirit's true helpfulness hit up against a thought in my mind that I believed, an ego thought, Spirit ceased to be the friend. Spirit became the enemy. And that's because I joined with ego in my mind. You know, they can't both be our friend at the same time, you could argue. In fact, you know, a friend once wrote something in Facebook that I actually thought was very helpful. She wrote something about we're either holding hands with Jesus or holding hands with ego in our mind all of the time. That's what's happening here. So I was holding hands with Spirit for a time as I was listening to Spirit. But then a thought came in, what you're giving us isn't helpful. When I had that thought, I let go of holding hands with Spirit, and I started holding hands with ego. And as soon as I did that, I pushed Spirit away. Again, this is something we really want to pay attention to, because we all do it. It's just nice that I got to demonstrate it during a message. But we all do it. So let's look at what Spirit has to say about it. He says, the energy of my message feels lower to you now because you have chosen a lower energy. By remembering times that choice seems challenged, when you seem to be victim of the choices that are made by the mind. During these times, it can seem difficult to will for what you want. And you can even feel as if you are failing in the choice to have the experience of what you truly want, right? Then he says, know that you never fail. This may seem unreal to you. Now, you got to remember, by this point, when Spirit is talking to me, I want to be honest with you, I am fighting him in my mind. Obviously, I'm still open enough that I'm able to write, but I'm getting mad at Spirit now. Okay, Spirit is not my friend right now. I've joined hands with ego. Holy Spirit is my enemy. And I'm feeling like he is being coercive. And so, you know, when he starts saying things like, know that you never fail, the ideas in my mind are like, liar. You know, liar, we fail. You know, I'm fighting for the belief that I fail. Right? I'm fighting for the belief that I can be wrong. I'm fighting for the belief that we are victims. I'm fighting for the belief that we can't do this. Right? I'm fighting with ego against Spirit. So Spirit says, know that you never fail. And then he addresses how I'm feeling. He says, this may seem unreal to you. okay? Because that's the state of mind I'm in. This may seem unreal to you, like a concept only given in order to make you feel good. He says, but it is not only a concept. It is total truth. You never fail. Failure is impossible for the Son of God. And then, here's why we never fail. Are you ready? We're back to honest truth, okay? In any moment, you are experiencing exactly what you choose to experience. That's why we can't fail. All right? Now, if we say to feel at peace is success, and to feel angry, especially angry at spirit, is failure, then I may judge myself as failing when I'm pissed off at spirit. If I say always choosing for peace is success, and when I choose fear, when I choose anger, when I choose hatred, right, that's failure, well, then I obviously can fail. But what spirit is telling me is that's an incorrect definition. We can't fail, and the reason we can't fail is because we are always having the experience that we choose. If I am pissed off at spirit right now, it's because I'm choosing to be pissed off at spirit right now. I am choosing that. And all of the emotions I am feeling, the lower vibration that I'm feeling, is a complete success, the effect of my choice. If I am terrified about the future, it's because I am listening to all of those thoughts. I am choosing to hear those thoughts and believe those thoughts. I am choosing to be terrified of the future. Therefore, I am an absolute success. If I am, you know, angry at my living partner, Laurent, right, and I'm judging him for this and judging him for that, and I'm filled with so much hate, I can barely stand it. I cannot stand how much I'm hating right now. I'm still an absolute success because I chose to listen to all of those thoughts, to believe all of those thoughts, to have that experience, and I'm having it. He's saying you can never fail. You can never fail. Failure is impossible. It does not exist. You will have the experience you are choosing, right? That's very important to listen to. Again, Spirit is pointing us towards the door that is really going to be what people call our salvation, our freedom, our awakening. We have to recognize that we are the chooser. We are the one that is creating whatever our experience is. You know, this is the responsibility for sight section from A Course in Miracles, right? You know, in that section, Jesus says something, you know, I can't quote it exactly. Bill Free might be able to. He's been looking at it a lot as far as I know. But the idea is all you need to say for what is it, complete happiness or complete freedom, is that I am responsible, right? Page 502 in the Sparkly, Lisa says. Thank you very much, Lisa. That's what Spirit is saying here. Barbara says, I just closed the window. I think you were trying to talk me through. Sorry, I'm not good at this. Please send again. I'm assuming she wants the link again. So there you go, Barb. There's the link. Okay, so know that you never fail. This may seem unreal to you, like a concept only given in order to make you feel good, but it is not only a concept. It is a, look at these words, total truth. It is a total truth. You never fail. Failure is impossible for the Son of God. In any moment, you are experiencing exactly what you choose to experience. That includes right now, Regina, while you're feeling pissed off at me. You're choosing this experience. You could be hearing this message differently, right? You've chosen a different filter right now. In any moment, you are experiencing exactly what you choose to experience. This is important for you to realize because in resisting your current experience, you resist you. Let me finish reading the paragraph and then I'll come back. But that's another sentence worth underlining. In resisting your current experience, you resist you. Resistance, as I have told you, is fear. It is also hate. So even in resisting or judging your current feeling of hate, You are choosing a will for experience and experiencing exactly as you have willed for. The trick to shifting an experience that you do not like or are not enjoying to another experience that you know you'd prefer is to totally accept the current experience. Now, this makes no sense at all to ego, so don't let ego even get involved in this paragraph. Because ego thinks, if I hate being pissed off, I have to push away being pissed off, right? If I hate hating, I have to push away hate. If I hate fear, I have to push away fear. And Spirit's saying, no, that's never going to work, because the energy itself of resistance, well, it's like saying, you know, you're choosing ego to fight ego, right? The energy itself, resistance, is ego. How can you invite more ego in as your guide and be free of ego? You can't. Resistance is ego. You cannot resist even ego and be free of ego because you've invited ego to be your guide. That's really what he's saying here. So he's saying what you need to do is you need to shift guides. And as we know, A Course in Miracles tells us that Spirit always, hear that key word, always accepts. It doesn't say Spirit accepts that which feels good. Spirit accepts that which is peaceful, that which is spiritual. It says Spirit always accepts. So if I want to be free of my current experience, because in all honesty, I'm not enjoying it, the way I become free is by accepting my current experience. If right now I am pissed off at Spirit, Spirit feels coercive to me, Spirit feels like the enemy to me, like he's trying to force me in a direction I cannot go, I look at that. I look at how I'm feeling. And I accept how I'm feeling. It doesn't mean that I'm telling myself I'm right about how I'm feeling, because if I am not feeling peace and joy, I'm obviously wrong. That's what the rules for decision teach us, right? I'm not feeling peace and joy, I'm obviously wrong. So acceptance doesn't mean that I'm saying I'm right. It just means I accept that it's here now. It's my current experience now, just like I'm accepting that it's dark outside and it's snowy outside. Okay? I accept it. That's what is. So if I hate my living partner, Laurent, because I've been listening to all of these thoughts and that hate has been building up in me and building up in me and building up in me, to resist the hate actually strengthens it. Because to invite resistance, right? To invite resistance is to invite ego to be my guide. I cannot use ego as my guide to be free of ego. So I need to invite Spirit as my guide, and Spirit is acceptance. I accept right here, right now, this is my experience. Right here, right now, I feel hate. Right here, right now, my mind is filled with these thoughts, right? I'm also not accepting that this is a truth about me, right? I'm not saying I am hate. I'm saying I feel hate, okay? I'm accepting the experience. So the trick to shifting an experience that you do not like or are not enjoying to another experience that you know you prefer is to totally accept the current experience. Whatever it is, however horrible the ego has judged it to be, start with acceptance. And just remember, acceptance means you're switching guides. Okay, you're switching from ego. It was listening to ego that got you here in the first place into this hate or this fear or this unworthiness or whatever it is. It was ego that got you here in the first place. Ego's not going to guide you out. Okay, that makes sense, right? So you need to switch guides. Spirit always accepts. Let's start by accepting right here, right now, where I'm at. Okay, right here, right now, what I'm feeling. Right here, right now, the thoughts that are going through my mind. Okay, I'm switching guides. Yeah, Lisa writes, full acceptance turns to joy. That's going to be the outcome if I stay with this guide, Holy Spirit. Okay, because that's where Holy Spirit's going to guide me. First step, switch guides. Acceptance. Doesn't matter how deep you went down the rabbit hole, right? First step to get back out of the rabbit hole is to switch guides. Acceptance. Okay? Acceptance. All right, going on to the next paragraph. If that experience is hate, look at it. If it is doubt or fear, look at that. If you are projecting onto others, or attacking yourself, stop and look at that. Stop only for a moment and look directly at the current experience as you have deemed it to be. All right? Now notice we cannot accept and repress simultaneously. And to be honest, if you haven't caught on to this yet, you might start paying attention for how often the mind represses. A thought comes up and there's a thought, oops, I shouldn't think that, right? Especially spiritual me, I shouldn't think that, and it's quickly repressed. If emotion comes up, oops, I shouldn't feel that, or I don't want to feel that, I'm afraid of that, and it's quickly repressed. We cannot accept what we've repressed, okay? So we do have to pull it up and look at it. And in fact, I practiced this in a very mechanical, drawn-out way for a few years. And the reason is to get me out of that habit of automatic repression. And what would happen is, like, let's say a thought came across my mind that I hate X, right? Doesn't matter what X is. Could be peanut butter. If I hate peanut butter with passion, that's worth looking at. I hate X. What I would literally say as soon as that thought came into my mind, I noticed, I'd say, I see that thought. And the reason I would say to myself, I see that thought, was to stop the automatic desire to quickly repress the thought and pretend like I didn't think it. Okay? I see that thought. That's what Spirit's asking us to do. Stop, look. Look at your fear. Look at your hate. You know, look at your doubt. Look at, you know, how much you're attacking that other person in your mind. Look at how much you're attacking yourself in your mind. Stop and look. Look it directly in the face. And in fact, Deb has given us a cute little icon here, a little green icon, kind of holding its breath. You know, let's let that represent whatever is going on in us and just look right at it, right? You don't look away. You look right at it. That's the first step. So he says, if that experience is hate, look at it. If it is doubt or fear, look at that. If you are projecting onto others or attacking yourself, stop and look at that. Stop only for a moment and look directly at the current experience as you have deemed it to be. And now say, are you ready? This is how I feel now. These are the thoughts I see in my mind now. I accept this exactly as it is, without wishing to extend it longer than it need be, right? I mean, that's a pretty simple little practice. You might have to carry it around in your back pocket for a while. It's because, you know, ego's going to want you to forget these words. So really, don't be embarrassed. Write it down and carry it around in your back pocket and pull it out when you need it. But say it. As soon as you know, your boss has pissed you off again, right? That boss, that annoying boss, and all the emotions and all of the thoughts and all of the everything comes up. You pull this out of your pocket. You take a moment. You look at exactly how you feel, exactly what thoughts are going through your mind, exactly what emotions you're feeling, and then you say, this is how I feel now. These are the thoughts I see in my mind now. I accept this exactly as it is without wishing to extend it longer than it need be. And you let it be, right? You let it be. So that's the first step. You just switched guides. And then Holy Spirit says, then stay in the energy of acceptance. The length and intensity of the current experience will last as long as it needs to last in order to match the intensity and consistency of your choice. Be willing for the experience to last. Be absolutely willing to continue with the experience of hate or doubt or fear as an experience. And remember that the experience is a mirage delivered through desire and the power of light. So what Spirit is really telling us is these are not magic words. Okay, you're switching guides. That does not mean you're automatically going to be free of the experience. You may be. If you only went like, you know, 1 inch down the rabbit hole, then maybe all you need to say is this once and you recover your sanity and you're free again. Okay? That's possible. That happens to me a lot. I'll have a thought, I'll go 1 inch down the rabbit hole, I'll catch myself and I come back out. But yeah, if you've done what Lisa's talking about, if you've gone all the way down the rabbit hole, okay, these are not magic words. The truth is you've created that experience. You dug your way down into that rabbit hole. And it, you're going to have to allow this experience to continue and pass over you, right? You just need to allow it to pass. If you think of when you throw a rock into a lake, right? You throw one rock, but it creates what? 8, 10, 15 ripples? If you were going to throw that rock in, you have to wait till those rock ripples pass by again. If you've thrown 100 rocks, there's going to be a lot more ripples. So he is asking us to be patient, you know. If this experience continues, this experience of hate or fear or unworthiness, whatever it is, that's okay. Stay in acceptance of it. Let it continue as long as it needs to, all right? You're not going to add to it by resisting it. You're not going to add to it by believing the stories that are running through your mind, but you're in acceptance in it, of it. One thing that it reminds me of is those toys that we used to wind up. Remember the wind-up toys, and you put them down, and they walk really, really, really fast? But then eventually, if you don't wind them up again, they start to slow and then eventually die. Well, you may be dealing with a toy, an experience that you really wound up. This thing may be really wound up. And you may have to be patient in acceptance of this until it winds down and dies. That's okay. All you have to do is be in acceptance, right? So stay in that energy of acceptance. And in the last line, he says, remember, this is just a mirage that is delivered through desire and the power of light. If you know the power of light message, you know it doesn't matter what you're experiencing. It can be hate, unworthiness, fear. It doesn't matter. What it really is light. Because light is the only reality. Light is the only thing that has power. It's just light kind of being refiltered or colored through an ego perception, and it's being called and experienced as fear or hate or unworthiness or guilt or whatever. But the truth is, it's only light. So while you're having the experience, remember this is only light. Go back to the power of light message, practice that while you're in acceptance of what's going on and until it passes, right? So he's bringing those two messages together. He says, sometimes you want an immediate answer to your experience, an immediate shift from the experience of now to a feeling you know you would prefer. Knowing you prefer another experience is not wrong. It is this knowing that will cause you to choose the experiences you really want to have. But resisting the current experience by judging and struggling for an immediate answer or an immediate change is resistance or judgment of you. That is continuing will for that which you realize you don't want. So again, we want to be careful about trying too hard to get out of what we're judging as a negative experience, right? We want to allow that experience that we've made to be until it dies a natural death. Otherwise, we may accidentally be returning to repression habits. And, you know, on the spiritual path, and I think everyone has probably tasted this within themselves, I think you might recognize what I'm about to say. On the spiritual path, we often use spirituality to feel good before we've allowed the fear to naturally die or the hate to naturally die. So, you know, if something starts working up in me, instead of doing what Spirit is asking us to do, to look at it, accept it, and then basically rest until it passes, we might run and grab a spiritual book and try to read ourselves into feeling better. Or some people actually use meditation as a way to quickly feel better. And what isn't always being noticed here is that we're actually using spiritual tools as a form of repression. We want to watch for that, because if we use spiritual tools as a form of repression, what happens is these basic ego perceptions or misperceptions are not being healed, and they're going to keep coming back, and they're going to keep coming back, and they're going to keep coming back. We want to let them heal, right? We want to be free of them, okay? So we really, repression is not our friend, not even spiritual repression, even if it gives us a temporary feel good. I mean, that's kind of using spirituality like alcohol or drugs. It's really the same thing, you know? So we don't want to do that. We want to make sure, like Lisa has written, we want to set with the pain. We want to embrace it. We want to allow it. We want to love it away, and it will pass. It will. Sometimes it requires patience. I mean, I've had pain that has stayed with me for months before it passed. Okay, months. But when it passed, guess what? It really passed. It hasn't come back. Okay? So that's what we want. We want the true healing of these misperceptions. So Spirit continues, and this will be my last paragraph for today. We're almost out of time. I'll finish next week. It says, acceptance is the answer. Patient acceptance, which is what I just said. Patient acceptance. Along with the realization of the light, do not be in a hurry. Be more willing for the long-term effect that you desire. Rest, accept, and trust. There we go, guys. Applause. This is the first time Spirit ever at least said this to me, and I think since then so many people have used it and quoted it. It's become really a core part of our spiritual practice and very helpful. So rest, accept, and trust. No, I lost my place when I looked up to applaud. Hold on 1 second. Okay, here we go. I'm going to start over. Acceptance is the answer. Patient acceptance, along with the realization of the light. Do not be in a hurry. Be more willing for the long-term effect that you desire. Rest, accept, and trust. Notice temptations to resist, right? To resist your current experience, to push it away. And in that moment, choose again. Because when you see the temptation to resist, that's actually just temptation to re-choose ego as your guide, which we know isn't going to be helpful. So when you see that you want to resist and push it away, just move right back into acceptance, and you go right back to choosing Holy Spirit as your guide. Notice temptations to resist, and in that moment, choose again. Now listen to this sentence. This is truly the best way to help yourself. There's another sentence worth underlining. This is truly the best way to help yourself. Through results, it teaches clearly who you are. So I'm going to stop there because of time. And I am going to, I'll just start again at that particular point next week. If anybody knows you can't be here next week, go ahead and just read the message on your own. I'm sure it will be very, very clear to you. But, you know, A Course in Miracles, Jesus told Helen, in fact, that might even be in this message. I thought I glanced down and saw the word Helen in this message. Helen is in this message, but not what I'm about to say. It's different. Okay, in A Course in Miracles, Jesus told Helen, do not underestimate the power of denial. Okay, this is what Spirit is really talking about here, is our desire to deny, to repress, to push away the feelings and the thoughts that we don't like, all right? Ultimately, that we think make us bad, all right? And he's saying, you know, you're never going to heal that way. You're never going to heal that way. You may have these temporary feel-good experiences, but you're never going to heal that way. We need to let this stuff come up. We need to look at it, and then we need to let it run. If for as long as it's going to run, based on how much you wound it up, or based on how many rocks you threw, or how many times you yelled in the cave, right? But if we just let it come up and you just set an acceptance of it, it will run until it can't run anymore, and then it will die, and you will be free of it. And he's saying, remember that. If this is taking you weeks or months and you're starting to get tired of this feeling of hate or unworthiness or loneliness or whatever your suffering is, just remember that, you want to wait for the dead batteries. Thank you, Deb. Keep your eye on the goal and keep accepting how you feel. Accept, 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 accept. Okay. I'll see you guys on Wednesday and next Sunday and tomorrow, so I'll see lots of you. Bye.